today is a continuation of last week, where we were teaching you about Joseph being taken prisoner by his brethren and cast into the pit, and how that Reuben, he delivered him out of their hands by saying that they should not kill him, and how that afterwards the Ishmaelites come along and they sold him unto the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And we find then that these brethren, they took the coat of many colors that Joseph had on, and they killed the kid of the goats, and they dipped this coat in blood, and they sent it back to their father, Jacob. And they said, "Know whether this is thy son's coat or not." And truly, Jacob knew the coat immediately. And immediately he says that a wild beast had devoured his son. And he began to weep and to mourn. And we find that he rent his clothes and that he could not be comforted by any one of his sons or of his daughters. For he said, "I will go down to the grave mourning for my son." So great was the grief which Jacob revealed in this case, where he thought and believed that his son Joseph was dead. All this was a trial for Jacob. This Jacob taking a knife and rending his clothes, these people in the East, they used this quite often. They had a knife on their person, and whenever they lost a brother or a sister or a wife or a husband, they would take this knife and slit down on the left side of their body a certain length until they could get their hand in it, and that was as far as they cut it. But if they lost their father or their mother, then they cut themselves on the right side, and they cut all their clothes. For the brothers and sisters, they just cut the outside part, but when the mother and the father died, they made a slit through all their garments. Now, these garments were usually made out of sackcloth. Now, this cloth was produced from the hair of horses and of goats, and of another kind of an animal, the coarsest hair that could be found, and these sackcloth was woven from this hair. These sackcloths we read of quite often in Scripture. We find that mostly when they were mourning, then they put on sackcloth, and they put ashes upon their head. We find likewise that John the Baptist and Elijah the prophet, they wore garments made out of sackcloth, a token of humility. This Jacob put on likewise, and he began to mourn for his son Joseph. All the anguish, the pain, the distress that Jacob experienced in this incident cannot be expressed in words, for he truly believed that Joseph, his beloved son, was dead. Oh, when someone of us lose someone, a partner in life, one of our children, oh, just picture the grief, the sorrow that you would have, my hearers. If you ever have had a child that has passed away, maybe your only child, oh, nobody can comfort you. You are beyond the reach of human beings when you lose someone like this, so close and so dear and so near to you. And so it was with Joseph. All his sons, they tried to comfort him, and his daughters likewise, but there was no comfort. He said, "I will go down to the grave mourning for my son." Jacob, my hearers, is a type of a child of God. He was a child of God, Jacob. But in this instance, I believe that many of God's children, when they are first brought upon the way, they experience such love and such affection to Jesus. They have him as their companion. Oh, how sweet it is when God leads us out of the state of sin and out of this world and sheds his love abroad in our hearts, and we are walking in him and talking with him and living with him. And then there comes a time, my hearers, that this all disappears and we begin to mourn the loss that we have experienced. Oh, we remember those sweet times and we think that soon they will return, but no, they do not return. Oh, darkness and deadness and barrenness, oh, envelops our soul, and oh, we fear that all what we experienced was wrong, that it wasn't true. We can't believe it any longer. And we are in a mourning state. Oh, we are like Jacob. Nobody can comfort us, not a soul here on earth. And we fear that we will go down to the grave without receiving Jesus Christ, whom we miss, whom we need, whom we are longing for. And we fear that we never shall find him. We will go down to the grave mourning for him. Are you in that condition, my heavens? Oh, I have a sweet word of comfort for you. Jacob thought too he'd go down to the grave mourning for his son. But what happened? He was brought down to Egypt, and he was given again to meet his son and to see him alive. Oh, believe me, your Jesus still lives. The clouds may envelop your soul, darkness may hide him from you, but there is a time coming when you, mourning soul, will have that sweet assurance that Jesus is your Savior, your Redeemer. He will reveal himself unto you as Joseph revealed himself unto his father Jacob. And now, my hearers, we find Joseph being carried down into the land of Egypt. These Ishmaelites bought him. He was sold as a slave. Slavery was existent already right after the flood. Slavery has existed for a long time upon this universe and still exists in some countries. You all know that slavery has been abolished in this country, but in this country it was predominant at one time. There was over 2 million slaves serving their masters in this country at one time. This being sold as a slave, my hearers, and being carried down into Egypt is a type of all mankind. We all have been sold as slaves. We are slaves of sin, slaves of the devil, slaves of our own lust. Oh, my hearers, and it is only Jesus Christ who has been sent into this world who can deliver us from this slavery. And we find Joseph being carried down into the land of Egypt, and again he is sold by these Ishmaelites unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the chief of the guard, the captain thereof. Now this man bought him. It doesn't say how much he paid for him, but he got a good bargain when he got Joseph. Why? Because he got a child of God. And now Joseph was in the house of this Potiphar, and of course when he first entered into this house, why, he had to do the meanest kind of work, a slave. But, you know, we may be deprived of our father and of our mother and of our brothers and sisters, but we can never be deprived of the grace of God if it is in our heart. And we never can be deprived of the presence of God. He goes with us. Everything might be against us, and everybody may hate us and despise us, but if we have God with us, my hearers, we have the best companion. And it says distinctly, the Lord was with Joseph in the house of Potiphar. And it was very noticeable unto this Potiphar that the Lord was with this young man, Joseph, for he was very prosperous in this house. The Lord blessed this house and blessed the field of this Potiphar that it yielded a great increase. And now when he seen this young man, industrious, sincere, honest, conscientious, he was entirely different than the other servants. You know, wherever the grace of God comes into a person's soul, Wherever you go in the world, if you have this grace with you, there will be a difference between you and other creatures. It will be noticeable in your daily conversation, in all your actions with your fellow men. They will say there's something different about this man or this woman. I can't fathom them, but truly they're honest, they're sincere, they're upright. It's to be noticed. Have you that, my hearers? Can it be said of you as it was of Joseph? Joseph, then, he was taken from being an ordinary man in this house and placed over all the servants. He was made overseer over the house of Potiphar. I think Joseph, when he was given this position, he began to think, well, maybe now my dreams are going to be fulfilled. He was risen above these creatures that were slaves and servants, and now he was mingling with those that were close to Pharaoh, people that were high in office in the land of Egypt. And I think he had many hopes that soon the dreams that he had back home would be fulfilled by God. And now the Lord blessed the house of Potiphar, and he blessed Joseph. And Joseph, he went in and out, and everything that this man had was under the control of Joseph. Potiphar didn't even know how much he had anymore. He so trusted in this young man, Joseph. And now we find that Joseph, he was being blessed by God. Everything was in his hand. You will follow me, my hearers, that he is a very splendid type of Jesus Christ. Was everything given into the hands of Joseph in the house of Potiphar? So everything has been given by God the Father into the hands of Jesus Christ, who is the head of his church and who rules and guides it through this world here below. And now Joseph, he's going in and out doing his business in this house, and what happens? The wife of this Potiphar, she casts her eyes upon him. He probably was a good-looking young man, and she, what sort of a woman she was, Scripture doesn't say, but it reveals that she was no good. She had a husband, and that should have been sufficient for her. But here she casts her eyes at this young man, Joseph. And she entreats him to lie with him, with her. Her passions got beyond her control, and she entreated him to do something that was contrary to the laws of God and to the laws of nature. And now she asked him to lie with him, with her, and he said that he would not do this. He said, everything in this house has been given into my hands. And all except you, he says, because you are the wife of my master. And shall I then do this great evil and sin against God? Oh, my hearers, I would entreat you, young men, amongst my hearers, if you were in this position, as Joseph was, and you were tempted by a woman to lie with her, would you stand? Would you say the same thing that Joseph did? I fear not. If you know anything about yourself, if you know your lust and your passions, that they at times know no bonds, I'm afraid that if God didn't keep you, you sure would fall. Joseph, he was kept. He was tempted, but he was kept. Why was he kept? That makes a vast difference, my hearers, when temptation is presented to us. In Joseph's case, the graces in Joseph's soul was in lively exercise. Oh, he had the fear of God in his soul. You may have that fear too, my hearers, but how often is it in exercise? How often are you walking every day thinking, oh, that God sees me, that God knows me, that God's watching me. He knows every movement that I make, every word that I speak. Have you that? It's a blessing if you do. Or if you have the presence of God round about you, you will be kept from evil, my hearers. You will hate sin. You will avoid it. You will do your utmost and strive against it. Do you do that? Or must you say, oh, how weak, how frail am I? Oh, how often I fall into sin. I don't even realize that God is round about me, that God is watching me. Oh, I'm tempted and all of a sudden I fall. Who does not have this, my hearers? Who is not, in this case, as weak as another is? Joseph then, he was in lively exercises of soul. Take David, my hearers. How different it was with David. David, he was walking upon the top of his palace, and in an unguarded moment, he seen this Bathsheba taking a bath. Was the fear of God in exercise by David? Was the graces in exercise there? No, my hearers. A child of God, one after God's own heart, and see how he foully fell. See what a blot he brought upon himself as a king of a country and as a child of God. The sin that he committed, he had to carry with him to the day that he died. God visited him for it. See how different, my hearers, between Joseph and David. Joseph, he avoided this woman. It says in Scripture that he didn't even come near her. This teaches us likewise, my hearers, that we are not only to pray to be kept from evil, but we likewise must avoid all evil. To the utmost, we must strive against sin as Joseph did. And now there came a day when Joseph had to go into the house to do some business. And when he went into the house, my hearers, this woman followed him. She had only spoken to him at this time, but now she took hold of him. And she says, lie with me. But he let her hold on to his garment, and he fled out of the house. There she stood with the garment in her hands. Oh, what a blessing it is, my hearers, when we are kept in this respect as Joseph was from sin. Joseph is an eminent type again of Jesus Christ. Christ was tempted by Satan, as you know, 40 days in the wilderness, and he repelled the temptations of Satan, and so did Joseph. He withstood this temptation to the glory of God. And we find that this woman, where she had been fooled in not having her lust and passion satisfied, she became angry. You know, there was a man by the name of Ammon. He desired to have his sister Tamar. You remember the incident? You know what happened to Ammon, don't you? After he had given vent to his lust, he hated Tamar as much as he had loved her. This is what happened to this woman. As much as she loved Joseph and wanted him to lie with her, now she hated him. You know, my hearers, chaste and holy love can bear with anything. But this kind of love is immediately turned to hatred. And now she starts to call out to the men that were outside of the house at this time, and they came in and they said, look, he brought a Hebrew in to mock me. He wanted to lie with me, and when I cried out, he fled and he left his garment here. And she laid the garment up until her husband came home. And now when her husband came home, she told him the same story. And he became angry. He was filled with wrath. And he took Joseph and he put him in the prison, where the king's prisoners was kept. Oh, my hearers, I guess Joseph's expectations of getting higher and getting to that point where his dreams would be fulfilled, they all fell in a heap. Here he was carried down into this prison. And of course, first he was cast into the dungeon. But now the Lord was with Joseph in this prison. You know, that's a wonderful thing when God goes with us into the prison. The commentary makes a wonderful statement concerning this. It says that a man by keeping his conscience clean, cannot always keep a good name. And that's true. To Joseph, he had been hated and despised, you may be sure, by the other servants in the house. And now when this woman told this about him, oh, they laughed, they mocked. They were glad that it had happened to him, I'll bet. And they had said many things about him, probably. You see, his name was gone. But my hearers, he had a clean conscience. Oh, what a blessing if we have a clean conscience. And even if people do despise us and hate us, you know, when you try to keep your conscience clean, you'll have many a person against you. And they'll say many things against you, too. But now Joseph, he's in the prison, and he becomes friends with the head of the prison, the warden in the prison. And he explains to him. He tells him his story, how that he had been sold by his brethren, and how he had been brought down into Egypt, and how that now, unrighteously, he had been cast into this prison by his master. And you know, the warden, he believed him. He believed Joseph. And he took Joseph, and he made him a guard. He took his chains off him, and he freed him, and he made him a guard over the other prisoners. You can see in this that the Lord was with Joseph in the prison. Oh, my hearers, Joseph in the prison is a type of a child of God. He was a child of God, Joseph. And you know, Joseph being in the house of Potiphar, oh, he was in a prosperous state. He was blessed by God, and so was the house blessed by God. And there is a time in the experience of God's people when they also are living under the blessings of God. When whatever they do, God blesses. And oh, when they come up to the house of God, he blesses the truth to their souls. When they kneel down, he gives them the opening and access to himself in prayer. Oh, they are living under the immediate presence of this great God, and they feel that he is with them and that he is blessing them. And my hearers, just like Joseph thought probably he soon would be on the throne, he soon would receive the fulfillment of his dreams, so it is with the soul that is in this condition. Oh, he thinks soon that he will be in heaven with God above. Oh, he has no doubt about it at that time. But he does not know that he has to be brought into prison. Oh, what a terrible place to be brought to, my hearers. Oh, to be brought down into a dungeon. And then, not to experience any liveliness in your soul. Oh, to be in bondage, to be under the dominion of sin, to be guilty, to be wretched, to be miserable. And all in this prison you think, everything that I had before was wrong. Oh, you're in this prison and you think you're going to die in this prison. And my hearers, Joseph in this prison, he was where the king's prisoners were. And if you may be in this prison that I'm talking about, you are one of the king's prisoners. There'll be a time coming when the king will deliver you and liberate you out of the prison. And now the time came for Joseph too. It was a wonderful way that God led this young man. Here he was in this prison, and what happens? We read that the butler and the baker of the king of Pharaoh, they offended him in some way. Doesn't say what they did, what they were guilty of, but they were cast into this prison. And they remained there a certain number of days. And the warden put them under the care of Joseph. And now one night these prisoners, they both had a dream. And when Joseph came to them in the morning, they looked so sad and so despondent. He says, "Why look ye so sadly today?" Oh, they said, "We both have had a dream and there's no interpreter." You know, these people in the East, they always resorted to interpreters when they had dreams. And now these two men, they had such dreams that they couldn't get rid of. They were dreams that God had given them. Then I like the vain imaginations that you and I have sometimes. We wake up in the morning, we're only too glad to forget about them. But these men, they couldn't forget about this dream. No, it remained with them. And oh, if they had been outside of the prison, you may be sure they would have went to some interpreter to get a meaning of it. But here they were. Nobody could interpret the dream for them. And they told Joseph. And Joseph says unto them, doth not interpretations belong unto God? Tell me them, all my hearers. Joseph saying unto these prisoners, doth not interpretations belong unto God, directed them to God. They were Egyptians. They were heathens. They knew not the true God. And if they had known him, they might have went to him with their dreams and asked him to interpret them. But no. See in this how that the providence of God is now working in the favor of Joseph to bring him to the fulfillment of his dreams. Joseph said, doth not interpretations belong unto God? They do, my hearers. There is only one interpreter, and that is God himself. And let me direct you, my hearers, to this one interpreter. All in and through sin, we all are so blind and so ignorant and so foolish that we know not the way of salvation. And therefore we need this great interpreter to interpret unto us the right way. I wonder how many of my hearers need this interpreter. Do you come up to the house of God, sometimes in guilt, sometimes in bondage, sometimes under the dominion of sin, the flesh so strong, the lust so powerful, you say it can be. It can be that I'm a child of God. You're saying that inside. Unbelief has the upper hand over you. And when you come to the house of God, what happens? It pleases God, in and through the means of the ministry interpreter, to come forward with the signs of grace. And as the interpreter explains, according to the word of God, your case is laid open, so clear, so plain, so distinct, and the Spirit takes it and brings it home to your heart. Oh, what a glorious thing it is, my hearers, to have your case laid open and made clear for you and give you to believe that all what you are experiencing can yet go with the grace of God. Oh, this interpreter, my hearers, is none other but the Son of God himself. You may be sure that Joseph was looking up to this interpreter that he might give the interpretation of these dreams. Do you look up unto him? Have you any problems? Have you any difficulties? Are you in darkness? Are you in trouble providentially and you know not which way to go? There's an interpreter in heaven above. Oh, seek him, my hearers. He knows the way that you are traveling. He knows all your troubles and all your fears. And he alone can lead you in the right way. Oh, this is a great blessing, my hearers. And we find Joseph then asking them to tell them their dreams. And we find that the butler, he's the man that serves the cup and serves the plate to the king, he begins to tell Joseph his dream. He says, in my dream, he says, I seen a vine. He says, and it had three branches. And on this branches, he says, there were blossoms and there were clusters of grapes. He says, and I went to these grapes and I had Pharaoh's cup in my hand. And I squeezed the grapes and the juice ran into the cup and I handed it to Pharaoh. Now, this is my dream. Joseph says to him, the three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift your head up from off you, and he will reinstate you into your position as a butler, and you shall serve him again in the same capacity as you did before. And now he says to this butler, when you are reinstated, oh, remember me and speak to Pharaoh for me, because I'm in this prison here. Oh, I was sold by my brethren, and here I am unjustly in this dungeon. Oh, please speak to Pharaoh for me, that I may be brought out and be given to return to my father's home. Oh, you may be sure that Joseph, he seen such a golden opportunity to be brought out of prison, and he sought every opportunity that he could. And now my hearers, he had to tell this baker likewise the interpretation of his dream. The baker, he had a dream, and he had three white baskets on his head. And on the top, the very top basket, there were baked meats in that basket, and the birds came, and they picked the meat out of the basket. That was his dream. Joseph says that the three baskets are 3 days. In 3 days, he said, Pharaoh will lift your head from off you and will hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh. My hearers, how faithful was Joseph in telling this baker his doom? He didn't conceal it. He didn't hold it back. I'm sure that this baker wished that that wasn't true. Maybe he thought it ain't true. He hoped it wasn't true, I believe. But the interpretation was of God, my hearers. And he told this man what was going to happen to him. You know, this man is a type of a natural person sitting under the ministry of the gospel. An interpreter, my hearers, a man sent by God, anointed with his spirit, he not only must tell us the way of salvation, but he also must be faithful in speaking to those who go on in their sins. Oh, to be faithful, my hearers, and to tell them that if they continue on in this way, their doom is sealed, that God must certainly punish them and cast them into hellfire. And my hearers, it may go with you as it did with this baker. How often have you heard this? How many times have you listened to one of God's servants and they earnestly entreated you to turn away from your sins and to go on the narrow way? And what has it done to you? Have you believed the message that they brought? You probably thought, I don't think it's true. It's not that way. It's not going to be like he says. And you went on in your sins. Some, they become angry. Oh, when you have a faithful interpreter, my hearers, and he's seeking the welfare of your souls, and he pleads and entreats in the name of that great God to turn away from sin, so many people become angry. Oh, they hate the interpreter, and they hate his message. And many times they won't have any more of it. They turn away from it completely. Oh, my hearers, may God make this little interpreter faithful and sincere in teaching and instructing you out of his precious word. And now we find that it was just as Joseph had interpreted. In 3 days, Pharaoh gave a feast. It was his birthday. Is it wrong to have a feast on our birthday? You know it's not wrong to remember your birthday. If you may remember it in thankfulness to God, that he has spared you all your life, that he has given you to observe this day, and if he has given